Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Ignaz Jan Paderewski, the famous Polish composer-pianist, was once scheduled to perform at a great American concert hall for a high society extravaganza. In the audience was a mother with a fidgety 9-year-old son. Weary of waiting, the boy slipped away from her side, strangely drawn to the Steinway on the stage. Without much notice from the audience, he sat down at the stool and began playing chopsticks. The roar of the crowd turned to shouts as hundreds yelled, "Get that boy away from there!" When Paderewski heard the uproar backstage, he grabbed his coat and he rushed over behind the boy. Reaching around from behind, the master began to improvise a magnificent counter melody to chopsticks. As the two of them played together, Paderewski kept whispering in the boy's ear, "Keep going. Don't quit, son. Don't stop. Keep going, son. Don't stop. Don't quit." And so the master works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Through our surrender and submission to him, God takes our humble service and simple labors for him, and by grace, the God of all glory uses it, and he uses us, and he tells us, "Keep going. Don't quit. Don't stop. Be faithful. Be consistent. Keep following me. Continue serving." And he who makes all things beautiful in his time works in and through us and makes our work good, beautiful, and magnificent in his sight. And he can make our lives a masterpiece. Philippians 2:12 reads, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Paul begins verse 12 with "wherefore." And this is a very convicting "wherefore," because it points back to our Savior's example in verses 5 through 11 of this chapter. Thus, in light of God the Son's humility, selflessness, and love, and leaving heaven's glory to come to this dark, sin-cursed world, in light of him becoming a man, taking on flesh for us, in light of his perfect obedience to the Father, being obedient to death, even the death of the cross as he died for our sins, Paul says, "Wherefore?" In light of Christ's perfect example of obedience to God's will, Paul calls for the Philippians' personal obedience to God's will. And in light of Christ's mind of humility, selfless love, and grace, the Philippians needed his mind to carry out the important instruction of these verses. Paul praises their faithful pattern of obedience, and then he uses that as a basis for anticipating their obedience regarding what he was about to tell them. "As ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Paul's special desire and request for them was that they work out their own salvation. At one time or another, you might have seen the Christian slogan, "Exercise daily. Walk with the Lord." Essentially, that's what Paul is calling for when he requests for the Philippians to work out their own salvation. Now, when Paul gives this instruction, he has already acknowledged that he is writing to saints. Philippians 1:1 says, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi." Saints are believers who are positionally in Christ. And being in Christ, in God's sight, We are set apart from sin, and we are set apart to God in Christ. And we belong to God eternally. Now notice that Paul does not say work for your own salvation, but to work out the salvation that God has already given them. Scripture is clear that salvation today is a free gift. It is all of grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And salvation must be first worked in before it can be worked out. And when we trust the perfect provision for our sins made for us by Christ's death and resurrection, salvation is worked in by the Holy Spirit. And then salvation is worked out by the Holy Spirit through our faith in obedience to God's will and His word rightly divided. Having trusted Christ as their Savior, the Philippians already had God's salvation worked in by the Holy Spirit. Here they're told by Paul, work it out by the Holy Spirit. Working out your salvation is about living the same way you were saved, by grace through faith in Christ. Salvation is found in a person. Christ is our salvation. At the moment of trusting Him alone for our salvation, Christ's life is inworked in us. Paul says in Colossians 1:27 that all that have trusted Christ as their Savior have Christ in you, the hope of glory. After salvation from sin's penalty, God desires Christ's life that has been worked in to be outworked practically so others see His life in our life. We do that by faith, through the Spirit's power, in obedience to the Word. And in that sense, we work out our salvation, and then the Spirit brings out these Christ-like attributes: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Working out our own salvation is about spiritual growth toward being more and more like the one who saved us, like Christ. And that's the direction the Holy Spirit always moves us, from where we are spiritually to where God wants us to be spiritually. It's always like Christ, towards Christ. And that being the case also, working out our salvation is about living in victory over sin in our daily lives, experiencing salvation over sin's power by Christ's resurrection life and power within us. It's about living righteously in the freedom and power that we have in Christ. And that's what Paul's desire was later in this book, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. Verse 12 teaches us about the human responsibility to our Christian lives here, as we are told to work. Effort must be put into the Christian life in order for us to grow, to know the Word, to pray, to serve, to be in fellowship with other members of the body of Christ. And Paul further instructs the body of Christ to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. These terms of fear and trembling show us that the outworking of our salvation must be done realizing the seriousness of the Christian life and living before a world that needs Christ. And working out our own salvation with fear and trembling reminds us of our own weakness and inability to live the Christian life in our own strength. We should rightly fear and distrust our own ability to meet God's will and instruction. We need to guard against pride and humbly trust the Lord and not in ourselves in order to live godly lives. And this is how we are saved from our sins: humbly trusting in Christ, not in ourselves. And this is the same way we're called to live. And by His power, we can work out our salvation and show Christ in us.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Two Great Commissions is a 28-page booklet written by Pastor Kevin J. Sadler, first appearing as articles in the October and November 2016 issues of the Berean Searchlight. This booklet presents the stark contrast between the Lord's commission to the 12 apostles and his commission to the Apostle Paul for the dispensation of grace in which we live. In this work, Pastor Kevin Sadler shows from Scripture how we are commissioned to rescue the perishing by sharing the gospel of grace and to shed light on the truth of God's revelation of the mystery. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750. That's 262-255-4750. Or visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.bereanbiblesociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Paul is talking here about the believer's practical daily sanctification, and he shows both the believer's responsibility and God's role in it. Verse 12 could not be carried out with the reality of verse 13. We could never work out our own salvation and grow and mature and to be more like Christ and show Christ in us without God working in us. God himself is our provision to strengthen us to work out our own salvation. The Christian life is a process of ins and outs. We see in verses 12 and 13 how God works in and we work out. As we grow spiritually in Christ by faith and obedience, God works in us. And the good pleasure he wills and does in us is to be more like his Son, to work out Christ's life and light. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "The word of God effectually worketh in you that believe." God works in us by his word. And he changes our wills and our desires by it, as we grow in the Word, as we apply it to our lives, and our minds, our attitudes, our priorities, our worldview, our understanding of life and what is most important are all transformed by the Word of God. Through it, we learn to see the world through God's eyes and feel with His heart. And God works in us by His Word, and then His will becomes our will. And we want to do the things of his good pleasure. And to will and to do of God's good pleasure is about what this chapter is about. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In other words, to put the needs of others first in humble love, like Christ did for us at the cross. Ephesians 3:20, Paul wrote, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." In his almighty power, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Paul wrote, this power is the same power that's working in you. And that teaches us that there are no limits for what God can do through one life yielded to him. It's been said that it's hard to feel aimless when you see God at work through what you're doing. And living a yielded life of service to God by faith gives us aim, it gives us purpose, and we find true joy in it. Dale Dury writes, "One fall afternoon, my grandfather was at home with my grandmother and heard a knock on the door. The visitor was a neighbor lady who said to my grandfather, 'I was out feeding the horses and I felt like God was prompting me to come and say thank you for the difference you've made in my life.' She sat down and began to tell stories about times when my grandfather had been merciful to her as a widow and cared for the cows and horses and done all kinds of practical things. She thanked him for being so real. She went through this litany of good deeds, including bringing peace in relationships with some of her children. She finished with, "I just felt like God wanted me to tell you that." My grandfather paused and looked at her and said, "It was Jesus Christ who did it." There was a pause, and my grandmother struck up a conversation with this lady. A few seconds later, they heard a cough and saw my grandfather slumped over, and he was home with Christ. My grandfather's last words were, "It was Jesus Christ who did it." We can have that testimony as we allow God to work in us to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:15-16 says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." As we work out our own salvation, and as God works in us, by His power and strength, we can be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Paul gives a sobering reason for why believers should do all things without murmurings and disputings. For the sake of the unsaved. It's for the purpose that as sons of God, we may shine as lights in the world. God wants us to be blameless before the world, which speaks of giving others no occasion to accuse you of having done wrong, doing nothing blameworthy. Blameless speaks of the outward conduct and suggests a purity of life that is undeniable and unhypocritical. And as we work out our own salvation and we allow God to work in us, we can live up to this instruction to be blameless in our outward conduct. Harmless speaks of the inward character of mind and being innocent, unmixed with sin, inexperienced in evil, untainted in motive. Putting the two together, blameless and harmless, it's not about being perfect. It's about being a godly man, a godly woman, righteous in conduct and character, possessing real integrity. It's about being real with your faith, living it out in a genuine way, being pure and loving, living a life that demonstrates that you belong to God and not this world. Mary de Guzman told the following, "One day, one of my six-year-old students asked me if he was a child of God. I told him that having trusted Christ, he was. He looked puzzled, then responded, 'Well, I better get home and tell Mom and Dad because they think I'm theirs.'" We are the children of God by faith, and it is a blessing to belong to God and to be called the sons of God, as Paul calls the body of Christ in verse 15. In 1 John 3:1, John wrote his Jewish brethren about this blessing, and we find a principle that's true for us in the body of Christ too. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And it really is amazing love that God has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. We should have the same sense of wonder at it as the Apostle John. Being the sons of God, the world doesn't know us because they don't understand us, nor the way we behave, nor the way we think. We do not have the same values, morals, beliefs, or principles. They don't know Christ. And they don't know us who have the characteristics of Christ. But it's this separation from the world that God desires to use for the church to reach the world. God wants His sons to speak to those outside of Christ with our lips and with our lives. With our lives telling them that we are the sons of God. Because we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Or literally, generation. A crooked and perverse generation speaks of the whole unbelieving world. Nation or generation speaks of the populace in broad terms. And the unbelieving world is crooked, which speaks of being twisted, bent, not aligned with God. They are crooked when compared with his straight, perfect, righteous standard. Perverse speaks of being distorted, warped, and corrupt. The world is twisted, wicked, and corrupt in mind, heart, and action. And what these terms show us is that they need Christ. Paul writes how we, the church, the sons of God, are in the midst and among lost humanity in this dark world. And as such, we are to shine as lights. We don't hide from the world. We are in the midst of it, and we shine in the middle and among mankind. We are in the world, but not of it. But as we are in contact with the lost in this life, in the midst of this crooked and perverse world, God would have us, as Psalm 96:2 says, show forth his salvation from day to day. God would have us show our salvation and tell others about salvation. Notice that how Paul puts it here, that we are not told to shine by the apostle. Instead, we are reminded that we already do. Having trusted Christ as our Savior, we are light in the Lord. We are children of light. We are possessors of the true light, Jesus Christ. We already shine as lights. The question is, how bright? How bright do we shine for Christ? How bright is our light for Him? The challenge here is to let our light shine out all the more brightly and boldly as it is unhindered by sinful actions or a selfish life, to let our light shine brilliantly by a pure life, in doing all things without murmuring or disputing, by being blameless, harmless, and without rebuke. God wants us to so live that we are His bold, blazing, intensely brilliant lights for Him, so all know that we have Christ and His life and His light within, and that we belong to God as sons of God. The word for lights here is interesting. It's luminaries. In other words, we are to shine like stars to this world. Hollywood's got nothing on us. We in the body of Christ are the true stars, God's stars, His lights to this world. The next chapter, we learn our citizenship is in heaven. We are God's heavenly people, and God sees us as heavenly bodies, shining as stars in this spiritually dark world. And as His lights, God wants us to reveal God's character of love and light to this world as we work out our own salvation. And He wants us to radiate His truth that we might illumine the way for others to Christ and the salvation in Him. And as stars are so obvious and visible and bright in a dark sky, so God would have our lives and testimony stand out among the world and be obvious, so that we might be a powerful witness for Christ and impact and influence the unbelieving around us. And by living blameless, harmless, without rebuke as the sons of God, we will stand out clearly against the dark background of this world. One commentator wrote, "Christians who live with an attitude of joy rather than grumbling and whose pure lives shine like lights in the world will be the talk of the town. They'll transform the morale at the office. They'll become agents of change at school. And if the church as a whole focused on fueling the lights of joyful Christ-likeness rather than feeding the fires of mean-spirited conflict, imagine what that could do for our nation, or even our world. Within each believer is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Having the light of the gospel, the knowledge of the gospel in us, it is God's will that we hold forth the word of life. The world has nothing to offer us, but we have something to offer it. we hold out the word of life, its message of salvation through faith in Christ alone. And as God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, and we look at this world with His eyes, our wills become one with His. We'll see the need of people who are dead in their sins, who need life, God's life, the Word of life. And His Word reveals God's salvation in the life that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And as Christ lights, as Christ's ambassadors, God wants us to hold forth the word of life. Present it to others. Tell others the good news. Christ died for you and rose again. The following are the current number of followers for different world religions. Islam, 1.8 billion. Catholicism, 1.2 billion people. Hinduism, 1.05 billion. Buddhism, 550 million. Pentecostalism, 700 million. Judaism, 14 million. Mormonism, 13.5 million. Atheism, 138 million. African and Chinese native religions, millions upon millions upon millions. All of them wrapped up in superstition, emotionalism, legalism, mysticism, idolatry, works, pride, trying to earn their way to what they believe is heaven, nothing whatsoever of God's grace, faith alone in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. And our hearts should shatter. The world is full of dark beliefs and philosophies, and people are spiritually dead in their sins and headed for the wrath of God. And they need the Lord. They need the word of life. And we need to shine as lights as brightly as possible and boldly hold forth the word of life. So people find life in Christ alone.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.